Hi, and welcome to Sellers and Makers Podcast, a place artisans can come together in community, brought to you by Everything Embroidery Market. I'm your host, Hope Dale.
And I'm Christina Schulman, and today we have the pleasure of speaking with Miss Angela with All Stitched Up by Angela. Angela has been a longtime vendor at Everything Embroidery Market and is very deeply seated in the crafting supply world. And so we're very honored to have you here today. Miss Angela, tell us a little bit, I guess, how you got into the industry of crafting in general.
Okay, my name is Angela Holly. Like Christina said, I own All Stitched Up by Angela. Been doing EEM since the very first EEM show, so we love going. How I got started, I learned how to sew when I was 6 years old. My mother sent me to my great aunt's house in Houston every year for a couple of weeks, and she taught me how to sew. My mom didn't know how to sew, so when I was a little bit of a mischievous child, and the doctor told my mom, you need to get this child something that she can focus on, and probably had ADD. I don't know. Yeah, I probably had all kinds of stuff because I was just like into everything. And so my mom decided to send me off to my aunt for the summer and learn how to sew. And that's where it all began. I literally started making Cabbage Patch doll clothes. Those of you that are as old as me will remember those little Cabbage Patch dolls. So the first thing I made was a sweatsuit for my Cabbage Patch doll. And so from there, my mom and my dad were very supportive of me learning and getting into making things and supported that. And every summer I would go back to my aunts and we would learn a little bit more. So when I was 13, I taught my mom how to sew because she was very interested. I was making all kinds of things, and it was probably I was probably about 10 when I started teaching her how to sew. And then a local fabric store opened up and my mom went and got a job at the fabric store. And I was really not legal to work at the time, but my mom talked to the owner into letting me work as well. And so we started working together in the fabric store when I was 13. And I actually started teaching quilting classes. I took some quilting classes, and the owner was very impressed at the time of the 13-year-old. I was always the first one finished in class and everything. And so she allowed me to teach some classes at that store. So from there, I started making clothes for my friends. I started making prom dresses and wedding dresses and bridesmaid dresses and all kinds of things. I made my senior year of high school. I was like, I'm going to wear something different every day that I make. I literally made an outfit for every single day of my senior year of high school. And so I was just, you know, it just came natural to me. And then I also, like, craftiness. I ended up, when that fabric store closed, I got a job at our local bakery and I made wedding cakes. So I've always had that maker in me, love to make just about anything I can get my hands on. So then fast forward, I got a career. I went to college, graduated with a few degrees, got a career in the healthcare industry. And all of that kind of fell by the wayside for years because I was busy, you know, trying to meet the expectations of a corporation. And at that time, you know, getting married and all of that. So like I said, that all kind of fell by the wayside for years. And then I had an experience in my life that kind of led me back into the sewing and crafting. My mom got diagnosed with cancer at a very young age, and we went through that whole experience, and she passed away when she was 53 of breast cancer. And I took that extremely hard. My mom and I were like best friends. And so I was struggling. I was struggling at my job. I was just struggling driving down the road. The day that I literally ran a red light because my mind was so in just everything going through my mind about my mom was the day that I said, I need to get some help. So I went to a counselor, and in those sessions, she highly encouraged me to do something that brought happy memories. And what did you do with your mom that would bring joy? And so I'm sorry. So I said, well, I love to sew with my mom. We sewed together for years. So I proceeded to go out and spend like thousands of dollars. I had lost my machines in Katrina a couple of years before my mom died. I lost all my sewing supplies and I hadn't replaced them because I really wasn't sewing at the time. It wasn't really necessary. So then I said, okay, well, I'm going on a big shopping spree. I went out and I bought like everything. The whole entire sewing room had to be replaced. So I had fun getting I got a multi-needle embroidery machine. I got a serger. I got a sewing machine. I got all of the everything. And I had to get all the thread. I had to get all kinds of stuff. So I really found that as a wonderful therapy for me. And it helped remember my mom. And so from there, I started, I'm like, okay, I'm starting to make all these things now. What am I going to do with all this stuff that I'm making? Because it was really a really good therapy. And I just wanted to sew all the time because it just brought me peace. And so I started doing little craft fairs. And so once I started doing that with a degree in marketing and finance and MBA, my mind started going about the whole financial side of everything. And I said, well, I need to actually start buying wholesale. So I bought my first bolt of fabric. And from there, it's like, okay, now I have too much fabric. Now what do I do? So that's when I opened my Etsy store. Way back in the inception of Etsy, I started a fabric, selling fabric and extra supplies on Etsy that I would buy wholesale. And that is where it all started. And we grew from there. And I had the business out of my house for a couple of years. Outgrew one house, moved to a bigger house, outgrew that house, and finally said, I need to open a store. Once I got the sales enough to cover the lease of a store, we opened up a 1,600 square foot retail store lease on one of our little cute little streets in our town. And so we were there for 5 years and we kept growing. We moved to a 3,000 square foot space and we were there for 3 years. And at that point, I had already knew that I wanted to buy my own building. I needed that little bit of extra time. So we signed a 3-year lease. And then once that was getting ready to come up, I said, you know what, let's go shopping. We went shopping for a building. And it was kind of a hard time to do that because it was during COVID. But you know, I said, you know, I'm ready for this. And I think it's the right time in my life. I knew I was getting ready to retire from my full-time job. And it felt right. And when I walked into the building, immediately within 10 seconds, I said, this is mine. This is where I need to be. And it just felt right. So now we have this 5,000 square foot building and it's a beautiful place to come every day. We love it here. And all the customers seem to like it too.
Well, and I've never been there in person, but I've seen so many pictures. And I mean, it's behind you, right? It's beautiful and it's eye catching. And all you do a really good job of merchandising and just showing off all the fun crafty things. But I want to talk about a little bit. When I was listening to your story just now, I really love that. You started at a place where you had no idea where it was going to go, right? It was as simple as I'm going to learn how to sew to keep my mind focused, I guess, or you know, you started somewhere and that decision to learn how to sew has led to basically a lifetime of something that has brought you joy. And yes. That makes me so happy. And I know your mom would be proud too. I know she would. I think that's a really amazing, amazing thing. And the fact that you taught your mom how to sew, I know that's typically, it's backwards, right?
Yes. Most
mom or your grandma or a teacher or something. But I think that's a really cool thing. Do you still have some of those outfits that you created back for high school?
Well, I don't because I did lose everything in Katrina. So I lost a lot of the things that we made, but I did have, when my mom passed, she had a couple of quilts that we worked on together. And so I definitely cherish those. And back then we hand quilted everything. So it was a lot of work. I still have a couple of quilts and I have some, I'm actually getting ready to work on. My mom was a little bit of a shopaholic and she loved pajamas and shoes. And so I had kept a big tote of her pajamas, and I just finished cutting those up, and I'm getting ready to start making quilts for my sister and my brother and myself for Christmas out of the pajamas. So that's going to be a really, really special thing for us this year. And that, you know, will definitely be a good thing.
Is quilting what you prefer to do? Because I know y'all won a big award recently, and it seems like you talk a lot about quilting. Is that what you prefer, or?
Not necessarily. I have a brain that has to do so many things that to keep it happy. Quilting is a big part of it. But like this past week, I have literally been sewing on quilts. I've made a couple of samples of children's clothing. I've done laser engraving. We do just about everything. Vinyl. We've had some vinyl projects this week. So I'm one of those people that if I don't have about 30 things on my list, I feel like I'm not getting enough done. I don't know. I've just always been that way. And I like to go back and forth from different things. That's just the way I told one of the ladies who I worked with, and I talked to her recently, and she says, well, what have you been doing since you retired? And I said, I've been fulfilling the ping pong brain I have and doing just about everything I've ever wanted to do. And my brain is just like, okay, what can I do today? So, but yes, quilting is, it is a large portion of our business, but we do all of the other things as well.
So like my brain's very similar, and it drives Hope crazy, but I'm always like, well, I can just add this, or I can change constantly. Just got to keep moving. So I get that. When it comes to starting a new project though, what's your favorite part? Is it the planning of the new project, the actual creation, or like having that finished object in front of you? What brings you the most satisfaction of that process?
I enjoy the, well, it, so basically in a sewing type project or whatever, you have the cutting out phase, the construction phase, and the like finishing touches. And sometimes that includes like hand sewing. I like the construction phase. The cutting out is always like just getting enough, like, okay, I gotta cut this out, you know? And once I get that done, then I'm like, good. And then the finishing, like the little dress that I made is really cute. I'm going to have it at the show. It's called Penelope. It's got this little ruffle around the collar, and you have to turn it and hand sew it. I was like standing there like, I am so ready to be done with this hand sewing. You know, I like the fast paced construct. I guess that goes along with my mind. I like that fast paced construction. Like, you know,
see, sewing. I like sewing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when you are creating a new project, do you typically use a pattern of sorts? Do you create your own patterns?
I do a little bit of both. Mostly for clothing, I use a pattern that's already created. For the quilting, we do both. I have probably 7 quilts that I have designed the pattern for. And for the magazine, I had to design a pattern for the magazine. But we have a lot of really good patterns that we can just pull off the wall. And we like to create those samples so that, you know, the customers really like to see it put together. And that's what sparks their creativity. You would be surprised how many people really want to be, do the creative, the construction and all of that, but they just can't put it together on a piece of paper, the planning part of it and the, you know, figuring out, you know, what pieces, what the size needs to be and all of that. So we sell a lot of patterns. And then like we sell the fat quarter packs that a lot of people have problems with color coordination, but they want to sew and they want to create a beautiful quilt, but they just have a problem putting it all together. So we do a lot of pre-packaging of sets of fabric to go along with the patterns that we sell.
Well, it's hard. I think as a creative person, you're very visual. Like you, in your mind, you've pictured something, but there's also so many options for fabric, right? There's so many reds, so many different patterns. And you're like, wait a second, how do I put them all together? And it's almost overwhelming. It's similar to if you have a customer who they're like, you know, can you do this? Yes. And you start asking questions, but they don't actually know what they want because there's so many options.
Right.
I guess ability to just have it right there in front of you. Is that so in your store, what is the best selling portion? I know you have, like you said, like the supplies, the notions, the, you know, the the patterns, the fabric.
We have, so our store is kind of split into two sections. We have all of the fabric and notions and more quilting and sewing type stuff on one end of the store. And then we have a lot of the more crafting, the vinyl, sublimation, laser engraving, and blanks and things like that on the other end of the store. You would be surprised. It's a good split. It's a good mixture. We have a lot of people that have been coming here for years for, you know, their vinyl and blanks and things like that. We do tend to sell more on the of fabric because we have, I mean, we have 5,000 bolts of fabric. You know, that's the majority of our inventory. So that's going to be more of what we sell. But we do have a really great mixture of customers that come in looking for craft supplies and things like that.
Well, and I imagine as you shift a little bit after retirement, it'll shift craft too, because you have those that customer base who's been coming, you know, fabric since the beginning. And now they're saying, oh, well, they have the laser engraving or whatever. So tell me, how did you get into that? Because that's something you started after retirement, right? The laser engraving?
Yes, I got that the year before I retired. And it's just something that I was interested in doing. I've always, in high school, I took electronic engineering in high school. And it's always like something that has interested me, but I never really had the time nor the, you know, equipment to do it. And like I said, I love to make everything. And my husband loves woodworking, and that really goes hand in hand with some of the laser engraving stuff. He can process the wood items for me and I can engrave them. And it's just, like I said, my brain loves to do just about anything it can think of. And I always was seeing those, you know, certain projects and things. And I'm just like, I want to do that. And so let's just get the machine and we'll learn how to do it. So it's a lot of fun. Just gives me one more outlet of creativity to add.
Well, and I've seen some of your finished projects and I'm like, wow, I bet that's going to be super popular coming up in months for.
Yes.
It's beautiful. It's different. It's completely different than the quilting or the embroidery.
It is totally different. Yes.
But it's still, you still create a product that most people will take and keep. It's a keepsake of scent,
yes,
of sorts.
Yes. Yes.
I really like that. Now, you mentioned your husband, and I know I've seen him behind the scenes helping with everything, but what does he have a specific role at the store at all? Or is it just kind of as...
At the store, he's our handyman, for sure. Anything that breaks, we call Mark and ask him to fix it. He is actually, in his career, he was a lineman, so he worked with a lot of electricity. So when you look at the store and you see all these really cool lights, we make those lights. And he made the light out of the sewing machines and things like that. So he does a lot of that for me. And he also built houses. So, I mean, we built our own house. So he's done a lot of the building in the store when we built it out. He has, since I retired, he's been starting to go to the shows with me. So you have seen him the last couple of shows helping, and he is something else. You will have to meet Mark. I taught him how to use the zipper jig at the last show, and he sold every zipper jig I had.
He's like,
so he loves, he's got a very infectious personality. So he's a lot of fun. And the seems like the ladies that come in the booth at the show kind of like him. So he's a mess. Now, something that we just recently got that I'm going to be testing it out at a show that I'm going to be doing here in the next month. We got the scissor sharpening equipment because, you know, even though women probably do scissor sharpening, it seems like a good man thing to do. I told him, well, you're going to be at these shows with me. You could like sharpen scissors if people bring their scissors. So we purchased the scissor sharpening equipment. We've been doing the training this week. So we will be able to bring those to the shows because a lot of people, like here in our town, we don't have anybody that sharpens scissors. And so we will be able to bring that on the go with us.
Yes. That's something that we've heard a ton.
We tried to get someone to sharpen scissors at the Chattanooga show, but they were in Paducah.
Right. There's just people that do it, but there's a big need, you know, especially people that come to the shows. They're like, I'm going to be there anyway. Can I bring my stuff?
Scissors. I need scissors. Yeah.
And one of the other things that we noticed, so when we were talking initially about getting someone to sharpen scissors, I was like, I don't know, because they have to fly. But that's not the case. We did our survey at the end. I was surprised. Most people drive. They drive from far distances, but most drive. So they'll bring those. That's
a really
thing. I'm excited to see how that does for
you. And we can say that you will have it. So that's that's a big, big bonus. I'm very excited about that because a lot of people did ask and we were just like, we tried to get someone, but the only person or two people that we knew were in Paducah that weekend.
So I thought that would be good. Something good to help keep Mark busy.
Absolutely. And didn't he do like a cool chandelier in your, like a sewing machine's chandelier in your,
it's an actual, I'll turn because I'm on like a little turntable. I'll turn this and you'll be able to see right behind me. You can see that. Let's see. Can you see it?
Oh, right here. Yeah. At the top.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I see it.
Yeah. So he did four of those for me in the store and everybody loves them. So
it's so neat and it's fun. You know, it's.
Yeah. And we saved some vintage. Yeah, we saved some vintage machines from getting put in the dump. So
exactly.
Well, if you're listening and not watching, she just showed basically a vintage machine that you guys have wired up and mounted, created a light fixture of sorts.
Yes.
And it's really, really cool. It just adds to the ambiance of your store, but you also brought in history and, you know, I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
Let's talk about, so you said you're going to a show here soon. You do a lot of trade shows of sorts now. Yes. Is that
a
significant amount of your business or how did you decide that I have a store and now I want to do trade shows?
I actually started trade shows first. Okay. So when we were working out of the house, the very first trade show that we did was in Mobile, Alabama, and it was an applique and embroidery show. And we had a little 10 by 10 booth and it was so much fun. We met so many awesome people at that show and we literally like were doing this out of the house. And so we had just, you know, wire racks and things like that. And we sold so much the first day because we were in a little 10 by 10 booth. So we sold so much the first day. We had another employee load her car up with bolts of fabric and come and we cut fabric all night long in the hotel room. Some of our customers helped us. Literally, we stayed up all night long. And I think at one like midnight we ordered pizza or something. I don't even remember. It was like a whirlwind. So then the next day at the show, we had been up all night cutting fabric. We restocked our booth and we sold just as much the second day as the first day. And we were like, okay, well, this is a great way to move inventory and help our business grow. And so that was about the same time that we were getting ready to open up the retail space. So then we like literally that same week we found about a show in Dallas and we were like, oh my God, we got to sign up. But we only had like a few, you know, very short time to prepare for that. So we were cutting fabric like crazy. And then the first time we heard about EEM, we signed up right away. So there are two main shows that we do. And then we have some local quilt shows that we do. We have one here in our town. We have a couple, anything that we can do that we don't have to travel for the quilt shows, because they're a lot different than the applique, embroidery, sublimation, you know, vinyl, all of that. They're a little bit more focused and the attendees are a different demographic than what we do at the shows, the EEM show.
Right. No, so before we owned Everything Embroidery Market, I had a similar, I guess, experience with those. We opened the store first, I guess. When we went, it was kind of like, oh, well, let's try it. You know, I think it would be a good something to try, get in front of some people that maybe we wouldn't have reached. But we sold a lot and we got to meet people. and we got our taste of, oh my gosh, this is fun.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
It's exciting. You just to everyone that's there is happy to be there. They want to be there. Yeah. And you just get to be a part of it, which, you know, we're primarily online. So we didn't get to experience that interaction, the face to face. And I was like, I'm hooked.
Yes. Yes.
And it put you in front of people that may not have seen you online or may have taken a lot longer for them to see you.
That's right.
Now they know who you are and they come back and tell their friends. And it, I felt like that catapulted our business to be more of a credible business, right? We were brand new. Now people have seen us. So,
well, and back when we started, I think you probably started at a similar time that I did. You know, it was the very beginning of the vinyl industry, like all of that. And we, even though we were a fabric store, you know, when we went to those first shows, we saw the opportunity to diversify our business. And it was a very good decision to do that. And has helped us because honestly, both of the sides of the industry ebb and flow. And sometimes when fabric sales are down, vinyl sales go up, and, or it's the, now it's, you know, more sublimation and, you know, right. The laser engraving is gaining in popularity and trying to, you know, seeing what people are interested in. The shows actually have helped us to kind of turn our business in ways that give us longevity, you know, and see where what's happening next. I mean, what's going to be the next thing?
And you hear them. What do you want? Maybe you wouldn't have got the scissor sharpening if you hadn't heard some ladies ask for that.
Right.
That is huge. It's almost like they're excited to be there, but they will ask you what they're looking for. And yes. Now you can pivot or add. And that's kind of been a theme that I'm hearing from you is, you're truly listening and you do diversify. I think maybe you do a better job of that than most people. You offer what people need and you'll keep going. Let's try. You're not afraid to try something different and something new.
I'm not. I always say, like, from the time that I was young, my great aunt, the one that taught me how to sew, she's always said a couple of phrases to me that have lasted through my entire life. You know, don't ever let somebody tell you you can't do something because you can. You know, don't ever, just because, and you know, just because you're a woman doesn't mean you can't do the same thing that a man can do. And she taught me about the stock market way back when I was like 5-6 years old, which has served me well. You know, things that she really was an instrumental person in my life. And you know, she says, if you don't ever try, you're never going to know if you will succeed. So those are things I think that I've taken to heart from the time I was very young. I was never afraid to try something new. And well, guess what? If you fail, you learn something in the process and you try something different. So I'm not scared.
I love it. It's served well. I think it's been fun to watch you grow. I mean, as someone again, who before just knew you as a vendor, your booth's grown. And I've watched, well, see, the fabric has always been there. I've seen a change in, I guess, not even really a change, an addition of new stuff. You know, blanks 2 years ago you didn't have. And your display has changed or evolved. And I think that's from my perspective. So let's chat a little bit about classes. I know you
okay.
Do what I have done today. If I could do the sure. But that's up to you. If you wanted vinyl,
how did that come about? So you sell the product and you're like, let's teach classes. You said you started teaching back when you were young.
Yes. In the business, I really started teaching more at the shows than anything. I've always wanted to teach classes, having a full-time job and everything. It was virtually impossible for me to do so at the store because I was already doing a full-time job and working behind the scenes full-time on the administrative part of the business. So really there was no time to teach. And even at the first years of doing shows, I did not teach. I just didn't have the time. I probably started teaching at shows maybe 4 or 5 years ago. And I love to teach. I've always loved teaching. And it was something that I wanted to really start doing. And so I just buckled down and I said, all right, I'm teaching the classes. I'm going to teach the classes. And so once I started teaching the classes, I was definitely hooked on that. And it really does help you to connect with the people at the show. The classes helped you connect to the people. Yes. And I've added classes this year. I have some new classes that I'm teaching at various shows, and excited now that I have the time to kind of develop new ideas and things that are always running through my head. So now I can share some of those things that are ideas that I've had for a long time that I've just wanted to do. So,
yeah. So let's talk about the classes that you're teaching. The new class we have is Scrap Busters, and I'm super excited to see that one. Tell us a little about what Scrap Busters is going to be.
Scrap Busters is, I was actually making a quilt, and the specific technique that being used on that quilt, I got to looking at it. I'm like, wow, this is like super cute and would look super cute in an applique. And so I thought, my mind started spinning with all the ideas that we could do that translate from the quilting world, because in the quilting world, scrap busting is a big thing. And so I thought, you know, well, we do all this applique and there's scraps laying everywhere. There's pieces that we throw away and never, you know, just completely, you know, cut that off and throw it all away. So I started developing ways that we could use the scrap busting techniques in the quilting world and translate it to our applique to come up with some unique things, creating your own fabric for one, coming up with, nobody else is going to have this because I'm going to teach you to create something completely unique, and learning to use those little pieces and parts that you're just going to throw away. And how can you use those in something and make it totally different and new?
And beautiful. So, yes. Yeah. When we were talking about it, you sent me a couple pictures and I was like, oh, that's so exciting. I wouldn't have thought to do that, but I think people are going to walk away like, that's, and let's do some
more. I feel like everybody has just, or at least in my family, we all have like a scrap bin, and I don't know. It gets used for little things, but to like come and like create this whole new beautiful project, that's exciting.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun.
Another class we have, it switched it up a little bit last show. Tell us about that class.
Yes. So that class is kind of a basic class that we teach at every show because things change. Every year, there's new products that come out, new ways to use old products. So what we do with that is bring ideas for you on how to use products in your sewing and craft room space. How can you be more efficient? What are some storage ideas? You've got bobbins everywhere. Let's grain those in. And what can we use to kind of more organize our sewing space? Lots of new products, like I said, coming out every year. This last show, like you said, we changed it up quite a bit and we just had the best time in that class. The class next door came over, a couple of attendees from the class next door came over and said, my gosh, how can sewing and craft room essentials be so fun? And I'm like, well, we made it fun. It was fun. So, but it's really a high-paced kind of class. We go over so many products to show you how to use them. Why are they like that? Like, why is there a double curve in those scissors? Why is there a curve? Why is there a duck bill on this? You know, what is the product used for and why is it built like it is built, like for scissors? Why is it important to use starch? I've never used starch on something, people say. Well, I show you the reason why it's important. There is a proper way to seam rip, not pulling your fabric apart and pushing things in. So we talk about things like that and what the product is intended for, and even get creative. And we've used this for something completely different than it was made for. So those are, and it is a lot of fun, but I said, it's a high-paced class. It's very quick and fast, but everybody seems to just absolutely love it.
And you had a huge line after that class. So it must've been a lot of new stuff that you introduced as well.
Yeah, that is right. But you know, you would be surprised how many people come up and say, I never learned how to seam rip and I want that seam ripper that you were using. And you're like, okay, this is like product has been around since before I was born.
Yeah.
But it was amazing how many old products that I just showed people how to use. They were wanting to buy after that class. But that class was a lot of fun. We had so much fun.
Where people are scared to use something because they were never taught how to use it. And then they're like, well, I guess I don't need it because I found this other way. But then you show them how to do it. And it's like, oh, wow, that's so much easier. Like, I need that.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And they have their arms full. They were excited.
That was mine was so long. I was like, I wanted to be in that class.
The people next door were probably like, next time. Okay, so class number three we have is all about cork.
Yes.
So what will you guys be, wow, a little stutter there, sorry. What will you guys be going over in that class?
In that class, we are going to, that's another class that I do teach at most of the shows because there, you'd be surprised how many people don't take it and then they hear about it and they want to take it the next year. That class is learning about using cork in sewing, and this year, past year, I added bag making and things like that. So it's, what can you do with cork? It's amazingly versatile. You can make anything from jewelry to household items to ornaments for your Christmas tree to, you know, bags. It's just an extremely versatile product. You know, a lot of people, that's one of those products that a lot of people are scared to use. But when you tell them and show them how easy it is, sometimes it's easier than sewing regular fabric. It really is, it doesn't fray. So it makes it so easy, like making gift card holders that are personalized and credit card holders, you know, for your purse, things like that. So quick and so easy that a lot of people leave that class and they're like, oh, wow. I mean, I just really never thought that it was that easy to use. So yes. That's kind of what we go over in that class.
Yes. Well, if you've never been to an Everything Embroidery Market, Angela always has just a bunch of samples. And I assume you made the samples, but I know you've made some of them because I've seen them come through your Facebook page.
Yeah.
But samples that just show you. So not only does she teach you in the class, but it's there. So if you're just walking in her booth, you'll be like, oh, that bag's beautiful. And then you have the stuff there to be able to make most of the time a pattern and mm-hmm. whatnot. And so with shameless plug time, join us. We're having Everything Embroidery Market in Myrtle Beach, September 22nd through the 24th. Sign up for Angela's classes. As you can tell, she wants to teach you. She is a wealth of knowledge. And check out her booth because there's a lot there. And if you just take the time to go through it, my kids, what did you have at this last time? I know exactly where it was. In the corner, you're looking at your booth on the right-hand side. In the corner, you had these metal baskets and it was a wallet. You had a wallet.
Oh, yeah.
And my daughter was like, Mom, you need to buy that. And I was like, well, it's beautiful. I want to buy it, but that's actually the pattern. I can't buy the actual wallet. But you have a beautiful booth. So if you guys are even thinking about coming to Everything Embroidery Market, you want to sign up, you can do so at everythingembroiderymarket.com. Again, sign up for Angela's classes. Come learn, come hang out, learn some new techniques, have some fun shopping, and we hope to see you there. Angela, tell us how people can find you. Where can they find you?
Okay, we have a Facebook page, All Stitched Up by Angela. We have a website, allstitchedupbyangela.com. We have our physical store located in Slidell, Louisiana. So if you're traveling, which we do get a lot of show customers come through and they stop here and visit us. So we love when that happens. So if you're traveling through the area, we would love to have you. And we also have an Instagram, All Stitched Up by Angela. So you can find us at any of those places. We do have a Facebook group. When you go to our Facebook, you can join the group. Sometimes we do exclusive sales and things like that through that group. That's about it.
Yep, I would definitely go follow that Instagram and the Facebook because she always has, you're always posting something, mm-hmm. right? Either something you created or bringing in. And I know people find inspiration just by seeing the things you created or the beautiful new fabric bundles or all of the just beautiful things that you post. So follow All Stitched Up by Angela for sure. Well, Angela, thank you so much for coming and chatting with us today. We cannot wait to see you in Myrtle. It's going to be fun. It's going to be here before you know it.
It will.
So, I guess I'll be seeing you next month. So, yeah. And thanks for coming on the show.
Right, well, thank you guys for having me.